In the last 2 years, we have seen a huge increase in gun owners in both women and minorities. And I think that is awesome because I think we've got a bad stigma that, like, the Second Amendment is just for, like, the middle-aged white dude. It's like, no. It's like minorities and those in the most vulnerable, they need the Second Amendment more than anybody else, right? That single mother with two kids who, you know, she just got out of an abusive relationship or what, like that, those people need the Second Amendment more than anybody else. And so if we can, like, bring that awareness and try to grow that pie and bring more people into the fold, like, that's what I, like, that's what I want to do. And so,
welcome to the Big Tex Ordinance Podcast. Today we've got our buddy Craig.
Thank you all for having me.
From Templar Defense.
Yes. It's not the sexiest name, but
it works.
It is. It's there.
It works. And we were just talking about, I met Craig Symposium 2018-ish.
Somewhere in there.
Right? We talked out there. And at that point, we were both doing definitely different stuff.
Yes.
In the space. But both had the background of, you know, we were talking about who'd we trained with, and we'd been in a lot of the same, at least the same instructors' classes, maybe not at the same time. And you're on the other side of the Houston Metroplex from
yeah,
us.
So I am in Katy. So for those of y'all probably know Katy for the football team. So for those of you in Texas, Katy is probably the most western suburb on I-10 in Houston. So we've been out there since 2013. It's a great, great area to be. I love it. Love our community.
Well, thanks for driving up on a
my pleasure, man.
Wednesday morning and hanging out with us.
My pleasure.
It's a beautiful fall day, as you can tell, that we're all dressed for. It's 62 outside and we're freezing to death.
This is ideal. if I could live somewhere where it was 70 all year round.
70 would be about perfect.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Dip down to like the 50s at night.
Oh, yeah.
70s in the day.
I know the answer is California.
But not
the answer. No.
We'll start throwing our guns on the table and show you why California is not the, the answer. All right, dump them out. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming up. We've got Ian in the studio and Ike today to join us to talk about a few topics. And the first thing we're going to get into is your background and how you got into the training community.
So first off, non-LE, non-MIL, I am just a regular dude. I got into training, so I know growing up, we weren't necessarily anti-gun. Dad had guns in the house, but that wasn't really our deal, right? We grew up playing sports and stuff like that. It wasn't until about 2012, I'm living out in San Antonio, I kind of started getting into guns. That's when I got my first That's when I got my CHL at the time, right? You had to go spend 10 hours in a classroom. It was a long process. My first child was born in January of 2014, and it was at that point in time to where I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got another little individual I'm responsible for. It's not just me. And so I started getting into training at that point. For the next 4 years, there was really only one company that I really trained with, and I would encourage you guys, do not do that. Don't just stay in within that echo chamber, right? Get out, experience other places. But through those, you know, 3-4 years, I started to become kind of the gun guy in my little circle of friends, and people ask me, it's like, hey, do you teach? You know, can you teach the carry license class or the license to carry class, CHL class? And so 2016, I went and got my NRA certification, and it just kind of just went from there. So that's kind of how I got into it. I've always enjoyed teaching. My mom was a music teacher, school teacher for years. My grandfather was a teacher. So I think I've always had the teaching bug in me. And so that's just kind of how it started. So.
Do you teach jujitsu also?
No. unofficially. So there'll be some times like we'll be rolling on the mats and some guys are like, hey man, what do you say about this? And I might throw in a couple things.
Yeah.
you know, throwing my two cents that, you know, hey, you might want to think about doing this instead of this. Or like, for instance, I was rolling with a guy earlier this week, and he's like, man, I can't pass your guard. And so I was like, okay, well, let's reverse roles here. Like, this is what I was doing to you. And I was like, if you just make this one small thing, like, it completely changes the situation. He's like, oh my gosh. So, I'm not at the level to teach jujitsu, but I'll throw in a little bit here and there.
And how long have you been doing jujitsu?
6.5 years. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. It's not so much just the, we could make a podcast on that.
You know, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about jujitsu. Like, everyone either, like, they love it, but I've never heard of anyone that, like, did jujitsu and was like, oh, I hated that. Never doing that again.
Yeah. So, usually those that say that probably went to, like, one free class and then stopped. And I always tell people, like, so one or two things is going to happen when you try your first class. So first off, you are going to get your ass handed to you. That's a definite, unless you're like a D1 college wrestler, and I hate those guys. But you're going to get your ass handed to you. From there, one or two things is going to happen. Most people, they're going to be like, man, I want no part of this. Like, dude's on top of me, sweaty, choking me out. Like, I don't want no part of that. The few who stay are like, oh my gosh, what did you just do to me? You have got to teach me that. And so that's kind of how I was. I think the first time I rolled, it's like I did Muay Thai. I got into jiu-jitsu through Muay Thai. And the professor at the time, or still my professor, Jeff, he's like, hey man, why don't you come roll? I was like, what is rolling? What is this? And he's like, just come on, let's go do some jiu-jitsu. And he proceeded to beat the shit out of me for the next 6 minutes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. You've got to teach me how to do this. So those that stick it out, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, it was, like I said, one of the greatest things. There's mental health aspect to it. I remember when we kind of got shut down for COVID, like my wife, I ended up buying mats from Amazon and clearing out the garage, putting mats in, and I'm texting my buddies. I was like, hey, Fight Club, 11 a.m., come on. And
nice. Man, warehouse Fight Club.
I'm telling y'all, y'all need to put some mats.
Hayden has talked about on several occasions having filmed boxing matches and selling them. Like Josh versus Justin, me versus Hayden.
It's like bum fights?
Basically. Like, if you go to Hayden Rufus. Now, he's probably talked about it 3, 4, 5 times, how he literally wants to get into BTO warehouse boxing.
Yeah. I'll pass.
Chris versus McKenzie.
Yeah. Oof. She would whip my ass.
Yeah, fact.
Who said bum fights? Was that you?
No, I think
Chris said bum fights.
Yeah. Got you overturned, stick. Rufus. But yeah, no. So I love it. The mental health aspect to it. So yeah, we during COVID, for a couple months, that's how we got our outlet. The physical aspect to it. So like, you know, people come in, they lose like significant amounts of weight. There was a guy, I kid you not. There was a guy, I think he's just got his blue belt. I think his name's Jim. I can't remember. The guy's in his mid-60s and he literally had like a triple bypass surgery on his heart, like 80-90% blockage. And, talking to him, and he's like, yeah, my doctor told me if I did not train jiu-jitsu, because what happened is his body, basically, he started, he was saying, because he had the blockage and he wasn't getting the blood flow, his body was basically creating new blood flow, new arteries.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what kept him alive. He's like, my doctor told me, he's like, if you didn't train or do some type of strenuous activity, he's like, your body wouldn't have done that and you probably would have died. So there's a health aspect to it. And then how I got into it, especially like self-defense oriented, I honestly believe that there is no better form of self-defense than jiu-jitsu. I mean, I've experienced that firsthand. There's been two instances where guys come in to the mats and literally try to manhandle you. And when you can actively control somebody who is bigger, stronger, more athletic, and keep them from harming you, it's like, it was at that point, I think I was a blue belt at the time. It's like, oh my gosh, this actually works. And so I can't recommend it enough. I think it's one of the greatest things I've ever done.
So you either hate it or you develop some weird kink for it.
Yeah. It's almost like a cult.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's been on my radar whenever I was like, okay, once we get the kids to where the kids are somewhat self-sufficient,
yeah, that's...
and get back into it and then get caught up at work. But that's one of those things like I'm just going to have to
break down and do it.
Yeah. You know, find a good gym. Because I've hosted Cecil.
Yes, yep.
A couple times in the past. Never got to actually get into a Cecil class, which kids. Is on work. Yeah, kids. Literally, kid on the way.
You hosted Craig Douglas,
and
too,
Craig
right?
Douglas. Yeah. I've hosted Craig multiple times. And both of their curriculums revolve around jiu-jitsu and guns and knives. And it's a phenomenal art to practice for multiple reasons. And you see, like, I know the big, the dude from Megadeth, right? He's been super in the
Dave Mustaine,
yeah,
I think.
Dave, about how he's, you know, battled cancer and started jiu-jitsu and still trains on the road and everything and what it's done to his health. So this has now been the jiu-jitsu podcast brought to you by, where do you train?
Train at Revolution Dojo. So
there
got,
you go.
Yeah, we got four locations in Houston.
Fantastic.
I know, and it's any up this way.
No, but we do have, we do have some locations up here that I know there's a Carlson Gracie affiliate.
There's one right here in Conroe or it says it's a Gracie.
So that,
I don't know much about the,
so that might be a GB. The ones that we know there's a Carlson Gracie in Conroe, and then there is a Maven Jiu-Jitsu, Professor James Kwan, which is probably, we'll get into this. So like I told you, I'm non-LE, non-mil. They're like, what is a dude like that teaching? Well, James Kwan is probably the best jiu-jitsu guy you have never heard of. He does not compete, but behind closed doors, he has destroyed like well-known people. And just the way he teaches is phenomenal. I think he is like, he's somewhere on 45 between here and the Woodlands.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
So, yeah, no, there's places everywhere.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic Myrrh upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black. Standard black. Those were my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Going to be across the street at the range. Doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armors
class. Armors class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
Yeah.
And typically, I know if you get into any groups, if you're looking for a jiu-jitsu place, if you're following us, you're probably in the same circles that we are. Ask around.
Yep.
Find out who's got highly recommended in their lineage, I guess, is what they focus on that. So it's definitely something that we should get into.
I highly recommend it.
And then, so besides jiu-jitsu,
yes,
you do basic pistol, basic carbine.
So I do three classes. I do kind of an entry level. It's our hybrid LTC fundamental pistol, which is designed for people who have never touched a handgun before. We literally have people show up. He's like, "Hey, I don't have a handgun." I'm like, "Cool, rent one of mine." And I've had several instances where like people shoot a perfect score on the qual after we work them up. So we've got that. I do a concealed carry one class where it's for people that have their concealed carry license, their LTC, and they want that additional training. They're like, "Hey, I really want to understand like what is this concealed carry thing about?" And so concealed carry one, we introduce them to the holster, and other things like that. We start to introduce, shot timers and stuff, kind of letting them, kind of getting more into the weeds a little bit. And then I do a rifle one class, which is, I was telling Ian, it's really designed for people who they have their AR, they might have it sighted in, they've gone to the range, punched holes, like Tom Givens calls that properly discharging of your firearm in a safe direction. Right? That's what most people do at the range. There's really no method to what they're doing. And so it's designed for people that have done that, but they're like, "Man, there's got to be more to it than this, right? I really want to learn how to shoot this thing." And so that's what that class is for. So kind of like 3.5 classes. And that's really it. That's where I stop. Don't do anything after that. I know my lane. I stay in it. And so anything else after that, I'll push them, to you guys up here. Or like this weekend, I'm not sure when this episode is going to air, but we're at the end of October. I've got Green Ops coming in for 2 days this weekend, right? Doing a defensive pistol two, defensive rifle two. And, so that's kind of what I tell my students. I'm like, I like to tell people I want to get you up to a blue belt level of competency, right? And then from there, it's like you're my children. I'm gonna pass you off to
release you out into the world.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go tell you. I'll give you recommendations on who to train with. For instance, we had it was a private class. It was essentially my concealed carry one for. It was a church security team, right? Just a private class for them. Nothing special about what I taught them, but there were two guys in there that were both shooting red dots. And while this wasn't a red dot focused class, I tried to explain to them some of the things that I've learned from like Scott and Hunter and, like gross sight picture, like how to use, either guillotine back of the plate or glass, stuff like that. And so those guys were like, "Hey, these guys are kind of switched on. Like they I really think they're into this." And so a couple days later, I sent them a text. I was like, "Hey guys, y'all shot awesome. Great job. I highly would encourage you to go train with either Scott Jedlinski or if you can't find a class of his, Hunter Freeland, because those two guys, when it comes to red dots, have probably taught me more than anybody else about shooting a pistol." And so that's what I tell people. I was like, "Look, I'm only going to take you up to a certain level. And then I will tell you, go train with this guy, go train over here, because they will take you and do things with you that, skill wise, I'm not even there." So that's kind of my thing.
And there's been a lot of talk lately in some certain Facebook groups and, social media about entry level instructors.
Yep.
And how there's a significant need in the country for switched on entry level instructors. And so you are filling that role for this area.
I try.
And it's really difficult to do. I know, from my experience hosting classes starting in like 2010 ish. 2011, and then doing running a training program at our previous place of employment. That there was a significant gap in you know, you'd have your basically your NRA safety class and your LTC class, and then there was always a huge gap from that basic handgun to getting into, you know, Bill Blowers.
Yes.
Chuck Pressburg.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, you can, you know, depending on where you're at, that might not even be an opportunity, or that might be an opportunity that only comes around once or twice a year. And even living in the Houston area, there's not a lot of training opportunities.
So one of the things, I don't know why, Dallas has several, I mean, the instructors come up there all the time. San Antonio, I mean, we've got Green Ops over there, but they've got, like, at the place where they shoot in Seguin, there's like literally four guys that I can't remember all their names, but there's literally four training outfits that are like based. There is nothing in Houston until y'all bought the range and started bringing stuff in. There was nothing in Houston. Like, I know I'm from here. I was born here. And that was one of the reasons why I kind of started teaching, but then my focus was to, you know, kind of in that, you know, west side of Houston, like bring in people, because there was nobody to train with if you wanted to get to like an intermediate or an advanced level class. But yeah, no, so you had touched on like basic level instructors and that, gosh, my ADD is going to kick in. We're going to go on a rabbit or squirrel chase here. But that's actually one of my frustrations with entry-level instructors is, you know, they'll go take an NRA, get their NRA certification, and they might come from an LE or a MIL background, and they might be regurgitating the same stuff that they were taught, which might be good, might not be good. But I'll be honest with you, my curriculum did not come from the NRA certification. Where the light switched on for me was like 2018. I went and took Tom Gibbons' instructor development class. That was literally like a light bulb moment for me. So I took a lot of what he gave, and then I started compiling my curriculum from classes that I had been to. Like, I would take nuggets from here, nuggets from there. It's like, oh my gosh, I like how they taught this. I like how they taught that. And I would just build the curriculum from that, because there's a lot of stuff that they teach that is kind of unnecessary. And perfect example is, you know, they might teach like the isosceles versus the weaver. It's like, guys, a brand new shooter really does not care about Jack Weaver and his, you know, his nerve damage in his left. Like, they don't need to know that, right? And it might make the instructor seem, more knowledgeable or whatnot because he knows all these interesting facts. But it's like, look, man, they're throwing stuff at these students that it confuses them. And you will be surprised. One of the things that I've noticed, you'll be surprised. And one of the things that I do is when I teach, especially brand new shooters, I tell you what I want you to do. I'm not going to tell you what I don't want you to do. Because if I tell you, hey, don't think about a purple elephant, what are you going to think about?
Purple elephant.
Exactly.
Right.
Right? And so from there, and it's also, it's amazing what people do just naturally, right? I don't have to tell them, hey, get the gun out in front of your face. It's like, they already understand it. It's kind of like when I teach like lining up the sights, like the rear notch is a window. Like, you've got to look through that window at all times to pick up your front sight. And so it's amazing that, like, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. They're not stupid, right? And so being able to like the stuff that they pick up on that you don't even have to you don't really even have to teach them. Now, they might do something that you might have to change on a little bit later. But yeah, that was one of my biggest frustrations was, there's, there's people out there teaching brand new shooters, and I know y'all have been to the range and you might have heard people trying to teach somebody else, like, stop jerking the trigger. I'm like, okay, this guy's never touched a handgun. What does that mean?
Yeah, he has no concept.
What does jerk, like, you know what it means. Ian knows it. Like, stop riding the slide. Like, what does that, like, you want me to get on it on my broomstick?
I barely know what a slide is. You
like,
know?
And then another thing too is, one of the things I go over with my students, one of the first things we do in our fundamental pistol hybrid LTC class is I show them how to properly clear the firearm, right? We're going to get some dry presses in. I want y'all to understand, like, I want to look at your grip. We're going to, you know, we're going to walk you through that trigger press. I want y'all to see what lining up your sights look like without worrying about the gun going off. But then also it's like, hey, if you need to clean your gun later, if you need to do some dry practice later, do something, I want you to know how to properly clear that firearm. And so I walk them through that. It's like, guys, you know, get the elbow into the side, get your gun in front of your face. I want to be able to look through the trigger guard. Like, I don't tell them, get your gun in your workspace. Like, what does that mean to a brand new shooter? And so there was a lot of stuff like that, that I was like, man, there's gotta be a better way. And, so I just kind of saw that need, and I see so much bad stuff out there. And you gotta realize too, it's when you're working with brand new shooters, it's like, you've got one opportunity to make an impression on them. And if they don't have a good experience, you might've just lost somebody for the Second Amendment because they hated it. Like, you might have just lost them for the rest of their life. And so I kind of take that seriously. It's like, okay, you're giving me an opportunity. This is your first time. Like, I want you to have a good experience with what we're doing. And a lot of times, like, we'll get, about a week, month or so ago, guy from our gym brought his girlfriend. And she told me later on, she's like, after that, because I walk our students through their first three shots. Like, there's a method that I do. I walk them through their first three shots, and then we build on that. And she sent me a message later on. She's like, literally, I was so scared when I got out there that after that second shot, she's like, I wanted to put my gun down and I wanted to go back into my car. But if you would have saw her at the end of the day, you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's like a completely different person than what came. So that's the thing is you got to, like I said, we've got one, especially with new shooters, we've got one opportunity to make that impression. And I want to give them the best that I can in that short amount of time that we have them. And so.
It's you talk about that one opportunity and you know, Chris and I coming from a range. How many times were you on the range with somebody and it's like, hey, I'm going to, you know, oh, this is, you know, my girlfriend, my mom, oh, Uncle yeah. Bill, and, you know, somebody puts a 500 Smith & Wesson in their hand you know, something that they shouldn't be shooting. And
I've shot a 500 Smith & Wesson.
Yeah. It's
once.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it's like you know, that possibly ruined what that person maybe wanted to learn or maybe wanted to get into, because, you know, you're a dick and put a J-frame and 357 in their hand and just hand grenaded in their hand.
Yeah.
And it you know, or somebody who is into it, but the range has so many rules that they can't even develop any skills to then want to take a further educational class, a different level, because it's like you can't draw from a holster, can't, you know, rapid fire, can whatever. And then that person is just sitting there target shooting, which is fine to a lot of people, but to some people that want to develop that skill, it can be really hard.
Yeah. I would highly encourage you. And I think, Alex Sansone, I think I'm stealing this from him and I don't know where he got it from, but I highly agree with this. Don't teach anybody who has seen you in your underwear. So, like, I will not teach my wife to shoot. So there's just that weird, I don't know. Like, if you've got a spouse or somebody like that, pay somebody else to go shoot them. But the thing is too, it's like, you talk about
pay somebody to shoot with them. Not pay somebody to shoot.
Yeah, no.
Just to be clear with that, right?
Thank you for that clarification. talking about that, boyfriend, sticking that revolver or, going to the range for the first time is, and another thing too is, there was, and I was listening to, coming up here, I was listening to some Mark Ripito podcast talking about actually coaching, right? And what a lot of instructors with a lot of classes, it's basically just like supervised range drills, right? There's hardly any coaching. So when you've got that new instructor working with that new shooter, a lot of times, like I said, they're just regurgitating what they were taught, not knowing why it was done this way or whatnot. Well, you got to understand too is what you are saying. So when you're teaching a new student, it's what you say. So like words have meanings. It's what you say and how you say it.
A lot of communication's nonverbal.
Oh, yes. A lot. And so you might say something to somebody and for some reason it just doesn't resonate with them. It doesn't resonate. This was, I think, a couple years ago, teaching, and I use some training sites, teaching them, this is how you line it up. You want your focus to go back to your front sight. And I know some of you guys are like, oh, target focus. Like, guys, we're talking with brand new shooters here. Okay. Exactly. It's weird. So like I'm carrying a Glock 48 and I've been shooting dot for so long and I'm waiting for Onus Group to come out with their plates for a Glock 48 so I can put a 407K on there,
Matt,
Hunter and Matt.
Yeah. What's up?
but I've noticed like when I shoot iron sights, so I'm now, I can't go back to that front sight. I'm target focused. But anyway, going back, I had this one shooter that they couldn't wrap their head around what I was trying to teach. And so I was like, okay, so I gave him a blue gun. Point that gun at my eye. And it was still off. And so essentially, I just got out a piece of paper. Draw me what you are seeing. And they're like, this. I was like, okay, this is what I want you. And they're like, oh my gosh, okay. And so from there, it's, it was lights out for the rest of the morning. So just knowing, you've also got to know, you got to be able to fix problems. You got to be able to diagnose stuff. But the key is like, you got to be able to coach. And I think a lot, especially like new instructors, it's just, we're going through these motions and you're going to do this and this and not understanding why are we doing it this way? Why are we teaching it this way? And so, like I said, it's one of the things that I try to do a little bit different with the students.
And how'd you move from, did you start hosting training first or did you start doing the training first?
Or
did it evolve together?
So I started doing the LTC class, I think in early 2017. And I did the basic class for, the standard class. And for those of you guys in Texas, it's changed over the years, but in the, since 2016, it's been between 4 to 6 hours. You can't go under four. You can't go over six. Between 4 to 6 hours of classroom, and then you've got a 50-round qualification, which is actually a sobriety test, right? That's really all it is. So I did that for a couple years, and then once again, I took the Tom Gibbons Instructor Development course. After I took that, I really started to change how I did things. So I took what Tom did. And then it was also at that time I read a book from Carl Rain and John Dobb from KR Training. And they did a, basically it was like a market analysis of shooters. And they're, basically they found out, and this is sad. 93% of all gun owners do not take any type of training or do any type of like competitive shooting. And so I was like, okay, so you're telling me 7% of the gun owners have some type of education. And then it breaks it down even more he said about 4% so 93% don't train, 4% take some type of like NRA class, 3% take the state required concealed carry class. Well, a lot of that's just you're trying to check a box, right? It's like, I want to do this. I'm checking a box. And then only 1% like us do anything else on top of that. So I looked at those numbers and I'm like, wow. So you're telling me only, you know, I might only see 3-4% of all gun owners, and they're only going to really take that one class. The likelihood of them taking additional classes is very nil. And so that's when I was like, okay. And through that, and then also through doing the basic LTC class, a lot of people don't realize it's like, that's not firearms training. Like, you sit in a class. Oh, it's yes. It's mind numbing, but so many people would show up to the qualification with a false sense of skill or knowledge. And, you know, when we'd get out there, you know, I would try to do my best within the context of, you know, teaching them as best as I could, but then they'd get out to the range and it became, my frustration was twofold. Number one, at a few times it became a safety issue. Number two, I'm also thinking of the other students. I'm like, you are not being respectful of their time because you didn't read beforehand, not understanding that the standard LTC class is not a learn to shoot class. And so from all that, I realized, you know something? I'm going to do it different. So I care now. So there's my ADD kicking in. I decided that, okay, if I know that they're only going to come and take one class, I'm going to give them everything that I can in that short period of time. So I figured, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my fundamental pistol and I'm going to combine it with the LTC, and you are actually going to get some training. You know, even if you have never touched a handgun before, or, you know, my daddy taught me to shoot, I don't care. Like, you, there's been some solid shooters that have come through, and I'm like, I was like, dude, why did you even come and take this class? And he's like, oh no, man, I, like, you said this about the grip and like my support hand not being a bitch, and quote Scott Jedlinski. He's like, man, that really helped me out. And so that's when I realized, I was like, man, I'm going to teach my students how to shoot, right? I would much rather, the state would probably hate it that I say this, I am much more concerned with my students' ability to effectively operate and shoot a handgun, and use, you know, if the time calls, judicious force and properly use that thing, than their ability to read a stupid sign on a door. So I wanted them, I was like, I've only got you for 4 to 6 hours. I'm going to give you everything that I can to teach you how to shoot. And so it started from there. And then I realized that there really wasn't much after that. Like I said, I only go so far. And then I think I tried to host Blowers like in 2020, right when COVID happened. That didn't work. But I think about a year afterwards, I think that Green Ops, like, I think the one that y'all came to might have been the first class that I officially hosted.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank y'all for that.
God, it was hot.
Yeah.
Was that a one day or was that a 2 day? That was a one
no,
day.
No, that was a one day. Yeah. It was one day. It was the weather was horrible. Yeah. But yeah, so
it was extra humid down by the river.
Yeah, there was like living in a van.
Dude, it was hot.
That was bad.
But that class picture. I looked at the class picture. I was like, oh wow, somebody needs to start losing weight, and I need to get back on that. But that was a rough class to be the fattest you've ever been in. Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for that
was. That was a spicy class.
It was. It was fun.
It was a good class. But the weather aspect, like, it makes you think about something else, though. Because it wasn't just like, all right, you're concentrating on shooting, but you're also concentrating on not fucking dying of heat stroke. And like, have I pissed recently? How much water have I drinking? How's my grip on my gun? Am I about to draw out my, you know, appendix gun and just throw it at the target because I'm sweating buckets.
Yeah.
Liquid chalk.
Met some good dudes down there too.
Yeah,
you know, so it was definitely good class, and hosting is definitely an unsung hero task. to host a class. And me and you sat down yesterday and we're talking about stuff that we're doing over or that you're doing over at PTO Range and Training Facility is, you know, getting more instructors in. And it is an absolute,
it's a lot of logistics.
It's a lot of work to get good dudes in.
Yeah.
Fill the class because you want to fill the class because they're taking time out of their schedule or putting you on their schedule. And a lot of those dudes, that's their livelihood at this point in the ones that we're bringing in and hosting. And it is a difficult task to get the word out, bring them in, coordinate with all the students, ask the questions, and what are you getting out of it? A $450 to $650 slot for yourself.
Yep.
And it is definitely an unsung hero job. So thank you for
my pleasure. I, to be honest with you, I enjoy doing it. I mean, it allows me to shoot for free, right?
Right.
So it's not, you know.
So you're just doing it for the free spot. I get it.
It's a lot of work, though.
Actually, to be so, once again, it was an opportunity for me. And like I said, for, you know, if I can get, kind of talking about those two students from, you know, a couple of weeks ago, if I can take a couple students and they're like, yeah, no, I really want to be a part of this training thing, like concealed carry. And if I can take them and like, hey, you know, I'll kind of start you from the ground up and then hand you off to those guys, like, hey, go train with them, that and add to the pie, right? Not trying to take, because like the 1% that train, it's almost like, you know, all these instructors out there, they're trying to, the pie is small and they're trying to get their own slice. But if we can try to grow that, right, and get more people involved, like saying, hey guys, you know, and that's my thing is like, I take this gun thing seriously. Like it's a part of my life. It's a part of who I am. But if we can get more people to see that, man, that's key. And another thing too, I kind of, how we've prided on is like, if you'll go back and look at some of our, class photos in the last 2 years, we have seen a huge increase in gun owners in both women and minorities. And I think that is awesome because I think we've got a bad stigma that like the Second Amendment is just for like the middle-aged white dude. It's like, no, it's like minorities and those in the most vulnerable, like they need the Second Amendment more than anybody else, right? That single mother with two kids who, you know, she just got out of an abusive relationship or what, like that, those people need the Second Amendment more than anybody else. And so if we can like bring that awareness and try to grow that pie and bring more people into the fold, like that's what I want to do. And so if we can, you know, bringing in those outside instructors, letting them know, you know, hey, there's other stuff out here. Like these guys are on a high level and you guys go train with them. That's kind of my thing.
It's cool what you're doing too. Cause, like my buddy that's going to shoot with us this weekend, like, He's a
switched on cat, man.
he's never taken a like professional class, but he shoots quite a bit. So he like, I mean, he took your level one rifle,
yep. Yep.
And that kind of was like it put together the pieces that he's capable of taking maybe a more advanced class.
Oh yeah.
And like, hey, I can do this. I'm kind of squared away enough to, hey, I want to take a Green Ops or a Pressburg class, yep, or whatever. And, you know, I'm at that level where I can move on and do it without being scared of like, oh man, am I going to fuck this up and waste a weekend or $300 or a lot? It could be a lot more money if you're traveling somewhere, the price of ammo, yep, and being able to like, cool, I am confident enough to jump into that next level of training.
Yeah. Now he was awesome. He like you have a guy, and this is another thing too, is like you learn this about people. I've especially with my fundamental pistol and hybrid LTC, it's essentially the same class. It's just the hybrid LTC has the classroom portion attached to it, right? So they're still getting the same training. Within the first 5 minutes of people coming up and me interacting with them, I have a pretty good idea if like, okay, I don't have to worry about him. I've got to keep an eye on this person right here. And so Philip showed up And just talking to him, he carries himself really well. And I was like, all right, guys, you know, let's go ahead and get on the line. This dude pulls out a son's rifle with the dead air on it. I'm like, I'm not going to have any issues with this guy. And then I saw like a staccato mag and like his chest rig. I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. And so it was, no, he was awesome, man. He shot lights out. So,
yeah, he's pumped for it.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. And it's always good to go in that pistol class that we were talking about that we took with, that you hosted with Green Ops. Yeah. You know, when we signed up for it, Hunter messaged me. He's like, hey dude, I don't think this is what y'all want. I was like, no, this is exactly what we want. You're talking about a bunch of dudes that we work a lot and we work around guns a lot and we've all had training, or most of us at that point had some sort of outside training. And he's like, well, I don't think you're on this, like you should not be coming for pistol one. I was like, no, I need a tune up. No, this is exactly what I want. This is what I'm coming for. And I think a lot of people that are in the position of having multiple dozens of classes should look around also and go take a class with somebody who's local to you, who's putting out good info, because they might put out that one info and you'd be like, hey, where'd you find out about my support hand not being a bitch? And you'd be like, well, Scott Chudlinski, go talk to Scott. And that you can network that way. You can get exposure to other teaching methodologies. You can get exposure to other information that you might be disregarding because you're not, you know, I don't need a level one class. I don't need a basic pistol class, but we all need tuned up on a pretty frequent basis.
I think a lot of times it's just in general, I think just people, you gotta go.
Yeah, you're good. Go.
I think a lot of times people, they kind of discount like a fundamental, or, and this is not just with shooting, but with anything. Like, oh, well, I don't need that. You know, we're like, for instance, in jiu-jitsu, I already know how to do an arm bar. I want to go in and do this, you know, do this barambolo. It's like, whatever. I still love going to our fundamental classes where they're okay, you know, grip here, cross arm drag, foot on the hip. And I might pick up something that I didn't know before. And it just, it's like, oh my gosh, like I learned that 6 years ago, but I completely forgot about it. And so it's always, and that's really all like doing anything advanced is. It's just doing the fundamentals at a much higher skill level, right?
Upside down in the dark, hanging from a helicopter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I like to hang upside down and take my pistol apart and put it back together before my nose starts to bleed. So yeah, so I think, you know, don't discount that, you know, and another thing too, I get this a lot. You know, like I said, our bread and butter class is that hybrid LTC fundamental pistol. And, you know, people ask, oh, what, you know, what is this class for? And I'm like, oh, well, it's, you know, if you've got very, you know, brand new shooter, you've got very little experience. Oh, well, I was in the military. It's like, okay, what was your MOS? Oh, I was, you know, I drove a truck. It's like, okay. There's just that false sense of skill. And then it goes back to like, basically, especially with men, women are awesome, but men, it's that ego.
I'm a male. I know how to shoot. I was born with it.
Like, it's funny you say that, like moving to Texas and then working at a range.
It's insane.
I thought like moving to Texas, like coming from not a gun state, and I, you know, being in the military, I was like, oh yeah, everybody in Texas has a gun, carries a gun, shoots a gun. And then I work at, you know, go to the range and I'm like, holy shit. Like there's so many people that have never shot before that have lived in Texas their entire lives, never shot, never touched. And it's like, oh, my picture of Texas is completely different than what I thought it was going to be.
Scares the shit out of it.
My favorite thing to do when I was instructing at the range with a new student is go through the class, get them shooting amazing. And then after the class, and they say, well, you know, whatever, you know, did I do bad or did I do good? I'm like, well, look up. Look at the first baffle. And they would look at the first baffle, yeah, which is about 3.5-5 yards from the firing line, and there's bullet strikes on it. You know, and you're like, yeah, you're keeping all your
you're in a six inch circle.
Yeah. You're not shooting the ceiling.
That's... You're not shooting the ceiling. You're not putting rounds uprange. You know,
no. So that's like in my day job. You know, that's one of the things that kind of scares me. If I go to a, you know, if I go to a store, we're doing a demo at a range, and you go in and you're like at the 3 yard line, like on the sides.
Yeah.
That's just gross negligence at that point. It's like, and so that's the stuff that scares me. But yeah, that false sense of security. And once again, going back to men, you know, they've got this ego. And I heard somebody say this at one point in time, but it's I think it's somewhat true, but it's like men attach like their, not necessarily their view of themselves, but like they attach their masculinity to their ability to shoot, or their belief of their ability to shoot. And so and it goes back, you know, going back to jiu-jitsu, it's one of the reasons why most people don't follow through with it. Like, they're too scared to really find out who they are. And that's what I think makes, you know, the high level people in whatever industry you're in, so good at their craft, is because they're willing to admit, it's like, I don't know everything. Like, I'm always constantly learning. I'm always constantly evolving. And so, yeah, that's one of my biggest frustrations. I don't need to take that, because I was in the military, or my daddy taught me how to shoot. And I was like, okay.
I find it cool that you teach the hybrid course, though, because, I mean, there were so many times that, you know, we were on the safety for the instructor teaching the LTC classes. He would have 15, 20 students, so he has the RSOs spread out across the range. Dude, I literally have video evidence, and there's a dude loaded a mag vertical and backwards taking the LTC class. And it's like, hey, I'm impressed that you loaded a mag vertical and backwards.
Like, bullets going like straight down?
Straight up and down.
It's like, you ate the whole wheel of cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
like,
not angry.
Literally, how do you, like, there was two rounds.
You got to work on that.
Up and down. And then the rest were backwards. And I was like, how the fuck did you actually do? Like, I'm impressed. But like, that person shouldn't be taking the LTC class, because then they're going to go carry a gun. It's like, no, I should take something like,
I think,
you know,
mindset and ability are like the two biggest things that are lacking in the LTC course.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
you're 100% correct.
I think you need to focus on, like, some people go in there with the thought that, like, oh, I'm just going to blast anybody that needs blasting, you know, mm-hmm. like doing the whole prank thing. So anyways, I started blasting. So mindset and then ability, kind of like what you're doing, is, you know, at least taking them from, you know, zero to a level of competency where they can be comfortable, you know, carrying a gun, not shooting themselves or somebody else, you know, that doesn't need to. And then actually being able to, if they need to, apply judicious force. Yep. I think that's excellent.
No.
And like in the same thread, I don't think the government should be involved with, like, but at the same time,
I 100% agree.
Here we are.
I don't want a bunch of idiots running around shooting themselves or somebody else. So.
We had this big dude. He came in, dickhead, asshole, big beefcake.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah.
Dickhead asshole.
Yeah. You should. Oh, God. It gives me. And he had a high caliber revolver. I don't remember what it was. And he shot it 1 week. And the next week, he's signing up for LTC class using that high caliber revolver to shoot the qualification for the LTC. And the instructor failed him because he did not have the amount of, you know, designated rounds in the target. And had to come out and buy another box, because this is what, like, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, big dick energy. Dirty I'm hairy. Shooting this, you know, 500 Magnum. I don't remember what it was. And it was just his whole, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen, because it just, like, And then he was just the smallest man after he failed that. And it was just like, oh my God.
You were talking about like the people that like, I'm going to shoot at anything. I was like, okay, you know, and I get one of the things I tell them, I was like, guys, there's no such thing as a miss. There are only unintentional hits. Like that round is going to go somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to hit something,
right? And another thing too is like when we get into our concealed carry one, and like I'll throw in jokes, right? So like I've got a real weird sense of humor. I used to throw in a Spinal Tap reference. So like when we're talking about pressing the trigger, I was telling us like, all right, it's a, you know, we're born with inherent fears, right? And fear of loss of balance, loss of breath. I was like, that explosion going off 2 feet in front of your face is not normal. So I was like, that trigger's like a volume control knob, right? And we know at some point in time, it's going to go to 11. And I was like, so I pulled that one back. I was like, I don't use that anymore. But I don't even know where I was going with that. But jokes. Yeah. So like when we get into our concealed carry one class, I kind of tell them, I was like, guys, like it's not a joke anymore. Like, you know, I might, when I'm trying to teach a student, you know, we're working like that pre-ignition flinch, or, you know, Scott talks about it's a patience issue, whatever you want to call it. And they might shoot that target low. You know, and that's the thing that we do is we teach them a little bit and then we'll go shoot. And then we kind of expand and then we go shoot. And then when they start backing out, they're like, why am I shooting low and left? And it's like, okay, well, let's diagnose this, right? Why are we doing that? Okay. It's a combination of two things. And so like, as we back out, if it's a woman shooting her target and she shoots it low, I might call her a feminist, right? You know, cause she shot her target in the dick. And it's funny trying to keep things loose. Right. But when we get into our concealed carry one, like I tell them, I was like, all right, guys, you know, you might think it's funny that you shot this guy like in the little brain. No, that's not funny anymore. It's like, you know, you're putting rounds. That's another thing I tell them. It's like, that's why we don't, you know, shoot them in the leg. There's no such thing as a non-lethal use of lethal force. Like lethal force is lethal force, regardless of where it is applied. So let's make that shit count. Right. So like, if you think it's funny that, oh, I shot him in the elbow or in the shoulder, I'm like, guys, it's not funny anymore. Like this stuff is serious. And, you know, and we're in a controlled environment. Like nobody's screaming at you. Your adrenaline's not running. And so if you can't put holes, like if you can't put everything in an 8-inch circle, and I like to use 8-inch circles because then it, you know, like I tell them, like you below the sternal notch, above the diaphragm and between the nipples, that's a Tom Givens thing. And then it translates to BH really well. I was like, you know, guys, like it's like I want your stuff to hit and stay in your target, right? And so, that's one of the things. It's like, you know, we can have fun, but I was like you like it's not. It gets to the point to like when you get them to a certain level, it's like, okay, like missing that's not cool. Like you got to account for that, right?
You know better. You know how to do better. So, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Do better.
Do better.
But now going back to your thing. So yeah, I do not believe that the government should tell you, like, I like constitutional carry. I don't believe that the government should tell you you can or cannot. Like, I don't want to. You should not have to go to them for permission. On the flip side, I always tell people, it's like, I believe that the Second Amendment should allow me to carry the same stuff that an infantry soldier would have. Like, I want grenades and flashbangs. So like, I believe everybody should be able to own a firearm. Not everybody should own a firearm.
Yes.
And so that's the thing too, is, and a lot of people think like, just like taking that class, it's like, oh, I know everything there is to know, you know, by taking this LTC, it's like, oh no, this is just the beginning. And once again, the standard, like that standard class ain't training. And I wish people would understand that. And so,
I mean, we talked to, John Dufresne at Symposium, and I mean, he's an instructor, but he's constantly taking classes. And like he said, he takes 12 to 18 classes a year. Like we're all, even if you're an instructor, you're a student of your craft. And you're constantly expanding you're expanding your education.
So that's what I would say is, like, guys, if you're looking for a, you know, a entry-level dude, kind of like what I do, is don't necessarily look at, you know, and the gateway for most instructors is the NRA, and it's okay. And it is the foot into the door for most people. But don't necessarily look at that. Like, look at who they have taken classes from. Who are they learning from?
Look at their lineage.
Exactly. And so that's the thing, is like, man, I'll take stuff from, you know, Scott Hunter. One of the things I took from Mike Green from Green Ops is like, when we talk about like Slack, I was like, guys, and this is like direct quote from Mike, and it's weird. Like, I'll hear instructors say something. I'm like, oh shit, that's going in the bank. Like, yeah. That's coming out later. And one of the things I tell them is like, guys, when you think you have taken up enough Slack, you have not taken up enough Slack. They're like, oh. And then that church security class, like, I was showing a guy, and I told you, like, that first couple years I trained with one outfit, and there was some good stuff that I learned. There's a lot of stuff that I had to unlearn. Like, one of them was pinning the trigger to the rear. And so I was showing this guy, I was like, all right, let's put it to the shot timer. Cause I was telling him, I was like, okay, once that shot goes off, we're going to reset that trigger under recoil. So by the time when you're, you know, getting that gun back on target, you should be prepping that trigger again so that when your sights align, like, you're at that wall again. And so the guy didn't understand it. He kept trying to pin, and I was like, okay. So I showed him a drill that Hunter Freeland showed me, and I'm not sure if Hunter created this or got it somewhere else. And like, all right, let's put it up to the shot timer. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, dude, like, literally been a cop, been training. He's like, in the 30 years, nobody has ever showed me that. I was like, thank you, Hunter. I appreciate that.
There, if you've watched, well, today, the email that went out this morning, on today's the 26th of October, it's Jimmy's from Jim's Gun Life is videotaping Aaron Cowan, and he's talking about sight picture and how fast your eyes can see and how fast your gun can cycle, and you're actually taking so much longer to aim than you actually need to. And it's a really good block of instruction just on that. And that's exactly what you get when you branch out and take instruction from other instructors and get out of your comfort zone, I guess, would be a good way to call it or say it.
And kind of like what you touched on earlier, they might be all saying the same thing, but it's how they say it and
yes.
the way that they say it. So you might hear the same thing from five different guys, but on the sixth guy, they say saying essentially the same thing, but the way they say it might be what actually sticks, you know? So that's hearing different people's way of teaching and different ways of doing things is
so like really, really good. One of the things I get this quite a bit, and especially with ladies, especially older ladies, they're like, well, I'm not a fan of revolvers for the everyday guy. Like, I think revolvers have their place. I think they're more of an expert's gun. We're not going to get into that. But our classes are focused around like a semi-automatic, and a lot of ladies come up and they're like, oh, well, I can't rack the slide. I'm like, yes, you can. Nobody just has told you properly. And so we show them, like, hey, you know, we are stronger with our arms closer into our bodies. And one of the things I tell them is like, you know, you put your left hand on the rear of the gun. And what I'm going to do, and like I said, words have meanings, right? I'm going to violently, and I repeat that three times specifically, we are going to violently push with my right and pull with my left.
Or, a lot of people leave out is the push. They're always just trying to pull and hold it. But if you do opposing forces, like even at the gun counter, we'll show them that. And it's just like a little light bulb. And it's like, oh, wow. And it's just the simple thing of just push instead of just holding.
And then using the term violently.
That's a good, yeah. There's one of those things that we're going to
like, okay,
file away for later.
And so I've taken 70-year-old ladies with arthritis. And they're like, oh my gosh. Like for instance, my professor, Jeff Messina, Revolution Dojo, shameless plug. One of the best, I guess, biggest endorsements I could ever get was he sent his mom to me like 3-4 weeks ago. And I got a picture of it on my Instagram, and she's like, well, I got this revolver. And I was like, look, just come, you can shoot my 48. And she was scared. She's like, I can't rack a slide. I was like, yeah, you can. And so I showed her. It's like, you know, arms close into the body. It's like, you know, finger off the trigger, hand behind the gun. We're going to violently, because violence, like when you say violently, it's like, oh, I'm going to do something aggressively, right? Man, she was reloading, racking that slide. And then, you know, another thing, like if it goes into slide lock, you know, you can use the slide stop button, whatever. But afterwards, she was like, oh, my gosh. She's like, I didn't think I could do that. And so that's another thing too, like going back, words have meaning. Like that's why I don't tell people don't ride the slide. Like, what does that even mean? You know,
actually going back to the whole, you know, having issues racking the slide, there's a conversation somewhere on Facebook this morning where Ash Hess was saying that having a dot on a handgun actually helps quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
It gives them something else to grab on. Like if they're having issues with like older people or people with weaker hands, they said a dot actually helps tremendously. So
oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
That's relevant conversation I saw on Facebook this morning.
Gives them an extra handle, but yeah.
So for our local listeners and viewers, where can they find information about you?
So the best place to go is you can either go so Templar, T-E-M-P-L-A-R, defense.com. That was a name that my business partner came up with. It doesn't really mean anything. He's always wanted the name Templar. I told him, I was like, you can name it whatever you want to. I just don't want, like, I don't want tactical in the name. I don't want Spartan. Like, I don't want any of that crap.
Tactical Spartan Training Academy.
Yeah.
Tactical Dynamic Spartan.
Templardefense.com. That's the best place. You can find us on Facebook, Templar Defense. Also, if you're in the Houston area, like you can go to a Google search. And people don't realize this, especially for like local places. Like that's the number one place people go to find stuff, right? And so if you type in Templar Defense, like we'll come up, and we've got like close to 80 reviews.
Oh, wow.
And I just had my first 4-star.
What a dick.
So it was, and I'm not going to go into it, but the...
I think you just posted about it on Facebook.
I did. I saw that. Yeah, so there was, it was from that church security class, and so I'm messaging the leader. I'm like, hey, is the guy, so once again, I told you within the first 5 minutes, I can tell, right? And I'm horrible with names, right? So like I've got 7-8 dudes. I've met one of them before. I'm horrible with names. So I text the guy that I know. I was like, hey, is this guy, was he wearing this shirt? Was it this guy? And he was actually a former Marine. And it was the guy that we were just kind of like a little bit worried about. And he's like, yeah, that's him. I was like, okay, I knew it. He was a different guy. Maybe something I said, you know, rubbed off on him the wrong way. Like I'll throw out stupid jokes from time to time. But Google, you can see all our reviews on there. And then we do have our phone number on there. I'm thinking about taking that off because I don't. So this is another thing. Actually, I think I'd messaged Beverly Jedlinski about this, and I had taken our phone number off and then I put it back on. But literally, the people that call, it's like, look, my website's there, and I try to keep posting stuff on Google too. Like I'll post a graphic of our classes or whatnot, and they'll call in. It's like, hey, how much are your classes? Where's your next class? It's like, did you not even go to the?
We have this convenient thing called a website.
I kid you not. And this is one of the things that you realize as like a business owner or anything. It's like, you've got to make it so easy for people to do business with you. Like if it takes an extra click to do something, like, screw this, I'm not going to do that. Right. And so I know if they're calling me and like, oh, well, you know, how much your classes are, when your class, it's like, well, if you'll go to our website, templardefense.com, there is a intro video at the very top. Right below that on the homepage is our schedule. I don't even make you click somewhere else for my schedule. So I know if you're calling me for that, it's like, am I going to have issues? Like I think about it this way. It's like, it's not so much, am I losing a customer, but am I going to have issues? Like if this person can't think for themselves or follow simple instructions, am I going to have issues when it comes time to stick a gun in their hands? Like, am I going to have to worry about them? And so, please don't call me.
That's why we don't have a phone number.
Yeah. You're smart for that.
This is kind of a tangent, but what we ended up doing was just reading our website to people. It's is exactly what we would do. How much is this? Here, let me go look it up on my website here, and then just reading the website back to them that's publicly available. It has a search feature, too.
At this point, we would literally have to have somebody manning, maybe multiple people the phone.
I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to think about that.
That would give me more
at all.
Hairs.
No, I'm getting violently ill right now just thinking about
Chris
having a phone call. It's that spicy Thai food from yesterday.
Oh, that was so good.
It was so good. Thai Walk In if you're in Conroe, Texas. Yes.
Actually, they're gone for the entire month of November.
Oh, they're gone. Anyway, Craig, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Hopefully, I've made some coherent statements.
No, this was great.
It wasn't as crazy as that was up here in my head.
No, you definitely have. And what I'm going to say to our viewers and our listeners out there is, if you've made it this far, what I want you to do is subscribe, ring the bell, leave a review. But most importantly, if you know a new shooter, you know somebody who just bought their first handgun, it's your responsibility to do two things. Find them local training at a vetted instructor and share this podcast with them so they can understand what they're looking for out there right now. Because there's tons of people out there that are giving out fantastic instruction that's affordable and local. And gun owners need, firearm owners need that now more than ever. So do that. Also, leave us a review and follow us. Visit us at BigTexOrdinance.com.